People have been calling Steve Reich the greatest living composer for more than 25 years. Reich is now deep into his ninth decade, and his music has just been collected in a massive 27-disc set. NPR's Tom Heisinger jumped at the chance to talk to Reich to find out more about the composer's signature pulsating sound and how it's evolved.
The last time I talked with Steve Reich was almost 5 years ago, as COVID had just begun. And I was happy to find, speaking with him recently, that he's still a rapid-talking New Yorker. I asked him, with all the time that COVID stole from us, if he measures time any differently now in his music. Has the eighth note gotten any faster? I mean, has that whole idea of a pulse changed for you as you're getting older?
Well, Tom, I got bad news for you. As you get older, time seems to pass faster. You know, I mean, I'm 88 years old now, and it seems like things go blink and the day's gone.
Reich can wind time back perfectly to recall the mid-1960s when he and his friends Philip Glass and Terry Riley helped launch and develop what would later be called minimalist music. Reich, at first, was fascinated with the new medium of tape and making loops with it.
What interested me was putting a tape loop of speech on and beginning to hear the speech melody. When we speak, dun-a-dun, we sometimes almost sing.
He said, after a while, it's going to rain after a while, for 40 days and for 40 nights.
That's Brother Walter, a preacher Reich recorded in a San Francisco park.
I was listening to recordings of Brother Walter. It's going to rain, bam, bam, bam,
bam. It's gonna rain.
I had two Wollensack, these are like $100 tape recorders, and I had this idea in my head, I want to make a kind of canon where you'd have the two versions of Brother Walter going, it's gonna rain.
Reich figured out how to get his tape loops to shift artfully out of sync and then rejoin. He called it phasing. Reich was also interested in beats from other cultures, so in 1970, he packed his bags for Ghana, came back and wrote his first large-scale work, Drumming, the culmination of his phasing experiments.
It was Drumming that you took on that first European tour, if I'm not mistaken. I'm curious to know how the music was received over there.
The French were wildly enthusiastic, the English were very enthusiastic, and the Germans, the phrase was, Musik am Fließband, music on the production line.
With Drumming behind him, Reich began to focus on something you'll hear again and again in his music, the simplicity of the row, row, row your boat round that becomes complex and transcendent, underpinning most of his music, including his masterwork, Music for 18 Musicians. Music for 18 Musicians busted through traditional classical borderlines. A recording was released on the ECM label in 1978, and it sold more than 100,000 copies. In record stores, you could find it in the classical bin, but also in the rock, jazz, and world music bins. Something about it appealed to a lot of listeners.
Rhythmically, it continues throughout more or less in the same tempo, but a lot of the enunciation of those rhythms is done through pulses on woodwind instruments, which have to take a deep breath. And you feel that organic crescendo and decrescendo as they run out of breath, running along with fixed time in the mallet instruments, which are just going.
Music for 18 Musicians boosted Reich's career. More recognition, more concerts, and one little problem.
It was a great shot in the arm, and temporarily it was a complete block to doing anything further, because I had to measure everything. I got to do as good as that or better, or I can't do anything. And of course, that kind of attitude leads you nowhere.
Eventually, it led Reich to another groundbreaking piece, Different Trains.
Different Trains is, I think, one of the best pieces I ever did.
It's for a string quartet playing against tape of itself and recorded speech. It's also autobiographical. Reich took train trips across America beginning in 1939. At the same time, there were Jewish kids in Europe also taking trains.
very different ones.
Different Trains was my own youth, traveling with Virginia, the woman who took care of me, and it juxtaposed with people who I didn't know at all, but who were my age, and they had their hands up, and they got in a cattle car, and they were put in an incinerator, and they're not here.
You don't win awards for subject matter, Reich told me. You win awards for how well you do something. In Different Trains, Reich carefully recorded the voices of his governess, a retired Pullman porter, and Holocaust survivors. The inherent melody in their speech is imitated by the strings. 1940. Reich has received countless awards, including a Pulitzer and Grammys. Now he can hold a 27 CD box in his hand that contains virtually all of his music. Having that big set in your hand, does that make you think any differently about everything you've written?
Not on that scale. I mean, it makes me feel very good. It makes me happy that they'll end up in university libraries and probably get stolen piece by piece. But it's another way of saying the music's going to have a life independently of me. And I'm busily at work on the next piece.
What drives you to keep getting up in the morning and composing after all these years?
There's nothing I'd rather do.
Oh, really? Wow. Lucky us. And poof. Time was a thief once again. My hour with Steve Reich had quickly slipped by. Time is ticking ever faster for the fast-talking composer, and I needed to let him get busy to finish that next piece. Tom Heisinger, NPR News.